Ladies and gentlemen, a very good morning and welcome to the earnings conference call of EFC India Limited for Q3 of FY25. We have with us today Mr. Umesh Kumar Sahai, Chairman and Managing Director of EFC India Limited, Mr. Nikhil Dilipbhai Bhutta, Whole-time Director, Mr. Uday Tushar Vora, Chief Financial Officer, and Mr. Aman Gupta, Company Secretary of EFC India Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal the operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. I would now like to hand the conference to Mr. Umesh Kumar Sahai, Chairman and Managing Director, to give his opening remarks. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you. Good morning, everyone, and thank you for joining us on the earnings conference call of EFC India Limited, Quarter 3 of Financial Year 2025. The result we shared yesterday showed the hard work and dedication of our team. The number and milestone in the investor presentation highlight the progress we have made in achieving our goal and creating value. We remain focused on improving our operation, staying innovative, and delivering steady growth. Now, I request Mr. Uday Vora, CFO, to give key highlights.
Good morning, everyone. I am Uday Vora, CFO of EFC India Limited, and it's my privilege to welcome you all to our earnings conference call for Q3 FY25. On behalf of the management, I extend our sincere gratitude for your continued interest, trust, and support in our company. During today's discussion, we will provide an in-depth review of our financial and operational performance for the quarter ending December 31, 2024, as well as for the 9 months of the current financial year. Furthermore, we will highlight key strategic initiatives undertaken during the period and share our outlook for the future. Financial performance highlights: in Q3 FY25, EFC India Limited delivered robust financial results, reinforcing our commitment to sustainable growth and stakeholder value creation. Revenue stood at 181.5 crores, representing a sequential growth of 6.1% compared to Quarter 2 FY25. EBITDA came in at 96.92 crores, registering an impressive growth of 10.3% quarter-on-quarter. PAT was 40.47 crores, reflecting a 10.7% sequential increase. For 9 months FY25 period, revenue totaled 457.87 crores, surpassing FY24 full-year revenue by 7%. EBITDA stood at 230.51 crores, and PAT amounted to 92.81 crores. These results underscore our ability to maintain strong profitability while navigating a dynamic business environment. Leasing vertical performance: our leasing vertical achieved significant operational and financial milestones during Quarter 3 FY25. Assets under management now exceed 2.6 million sq ft, spanning 70 sites, with an average site size of 35,000-40,000 sq ft. Seating capacity has reached 57,000 seats, with an average occupancy rate of 90%, translating to a healthy average rent per seat of 6,250 and upwards. During the quarter, we added 200,000 sq ft to our AUM and enhanced our capacity by 5,650 seats. Rental revenue for the quarter was 96.34 crores, a 31% year-on-year growth, while EBIT surged by 37% quarter-on-quarter and 157% year-on-year, showcasing our strong operational execution and ability to capture growing demand for managed workspaces. Design and build vertical performance: our design and build vertical recorded exceptional growth, executing projects spanning over 400,000 sq ft across key sectors such as real estate, education, IT, and ITES. The total project pipeline stands at 92 crores, with 32 crores' worth of projects under execution and an additional 60 crores in progress. The vertical achieved a 51% increase in revenue and 27% growth in EBIT year-on-year, reflecting the strength of our integrated turnkey solution and our ability to address evolving client needs with precision. Our furniture vertical: the Eight Design. We have established our product lines and achieved standards to increase the turnover. Revenue from completed projects amounted to 13.33 crores with 2.65 crores of projects currently under execution. The order pipeline remains robust with projects worth 8.57 crores slated for completion within 30 days and an additional 14.35 crores within 30 to 60 days. This performance underscores our ability to deliver high-value projects efficiently, further strengthening our relationship and leadership in the furniture and design space. Our Q3 FY25 results are a testament to EFC India Limited's resilient business model, operational excellence, and strategic focus on long-term growth. As we look ahead, we remain committed to expanding our footprint, strengthening our core verticals, and consistently delivering value to all stakeholders. Thank you once again for joining us today. I request Mr. Nikhil Bhuta, Director of the company, to address further and take up the questions.
Thank you, Uday, and welcome everyone to the conference call for Q3 financial year 24-25 for EFCI Limited. I am Nikhil Bhuta, whole-time director of EFC India Limited. I am genuinely overwhelmed to inform you all that we have received certificate of registration for our Emberstone SM REIT, which is going to be managed by our subsidiary EFC Investment Management Private Limited. We received this certificate of registration in the last quarter. This is the third registration in whole of India and first of its kind in terms that a managed office operator has come up with floating in SM REIT. Now, without taking much of your time, and as Uday has already highlighted the results quite in detail, I request moderator Mr. Ryan to open the forum for a question and answer session. Thank you, Ryan, please.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone phone. If you wish to withdraw from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use their handsets while asking their questions. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question comes from the line of Sahil Sharma from Columbus Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, Umesh sir and Nikhil sir. Congratulations and aapko bahut zyada badhaiya on very good numbers. This is very good growth, especially given the fact that in the last year, hamara thoda bahut revenue, I think, kuch trading business se bhi aaya tha, and this time that is not there. So, congratulations on that achievement. Sir, mera ek sawal to ye ki going forward on the SM REIT, hamari matlab kya expectations hain timeline ki, when can we expect to file a DRHP and when are we expecting to do the IPO for it?
Sahil bhai, first of all, thank you so much. And yes, with regards to SM REIT, we are almost now in the final leg of preparation of the offer document. We have appointed CBRE as our industry research partner, and they are right now conducting the research on couple of cities, primarily which we are right now identifying certain properties. So I think we are expecting that roughly around in the month of February, we are expecting to file the offer document with the SEBI. And then as per the approval receiving from the SEBI, immediately upon receiving of the approval, we will definitely go for the IPO. So our at least offer document filing, we are expecting it to get filed during the month of February. As it looks right now, probably towards mid to third week of February, we should be able to file the offer document.
That's very understandable. And thank you, sir. My second question is that if you look at the investor presentation this time, you have given very good details on, the order booking for both the design and build and the furniture. And so with that visibility, I think, like at least from my calculations, we are somewhere close to achieving something like 690 to 700 crore top line and around you know, from my calculations, around 130 to 140 crore bottom line. So I think this year is going as per what guidance we had given in the earlier calls. So my question is, going forward for FY26, what is the kind of guidance or expectations that we have for the growth of the company?
साहिल भाई, इसमें नेक्स्ट ईयर में दो तीन मेजर फैक्टर है जो ग्रोथ को ड्राइव करेंगे नेक्स्ट ईयर. फर्स्ट है एसएम रीट की वजह से हमको एक थोड़ा बेनिफिट आएगा इन टर्म्स ऑफ बॉटम लाइन. सेकंड है जो फर्नीचर मैन्युफैक्चरिंग है, यू अवेयर दैट कि अभी हम लोगों ने सितंबर और अभी मतलब अभी सितंबर अक्टूबर में ही हमने इसको लाइव किया है. सो इनिशियली इन हाउस प्रोडक्शन ले रही है कंपनी. एंड अब जनवरी ऑनवर्ड्स अगर आप मैं बात करूं तो हम स्टार्ट करेंगे और फुल फ्लेजेस आपको उसका इंपैक्ट नेक्स्ट उसमें दिखेगा फाइनेंशियल ईयर में. एंड सेकेंड है कि जो इंडस्ट्री ग्रो कर रहा है, ऑफिस इंडस्ट्री बहुत ग्रो कर रहा है, बहुत सारे कॉरपोरेट और जीसीसी इंडिया में आ रहे हैं. सो दैट ऑफिस फर्निशिंग में ट्रंकी की जो बात कर रहा हूँ वो बहुत ज्यादा ग्रो कर रहा है. सो वो बिजनेस एक फास्ट ग्रो होगा. एंड अभी बहुत बहुत रोबोस्ट पाइपलाइन है डिजाइन डीएनबी में, डिजाइन एंड बिल्ड में जो चल रहा है. एंड सेकेंड है कि ऑफिस लीजिंग वाला जो बिजनेस है उसमें हम लोगों ने कुछ अच्छे बिल्डिंग्स में कमिटमेंट दिए हुए हैं जिसका इम्पैक्ट नेक्स्ट फाइनेंशियल ईयर में हमको दिखेगा. तो अगर मैं नेक्स्ट का बात करूं सो दैट डेफिनेटली नंबर्स बहुत प्रॉमिसिंग रहेंगे और बहुत अच्छे रहेंगे. साहिल भाई,
सर हम लोग ये गाइडेंस करने की पोजीशन में रहेंगे अभी या फिर मे बी एक दो क्वार्टर में जब हमें मतलब नंबर पे थोड़ी क्लैरिटी होगी अगले साल के लिए?
साहिल, हम लोग फर्स्ट क्वार्टर में गाइडेंस देने की कंडीशन में रहेंगे. सो मतलब एज ए मैनेजमेंट विल मेक श्योर कि हम जो गाइडेंस दें उसके आसपास ही रहे, वो कहने के लिए गाइडेंस ना जाए. सो दैट्स द रीजन हम फर्स्ट क्वार्टर में दे देंगे. सो एज इन्वेस्टर आपको भी दिखेगा कि हमने दिस क्वार्टर में जो गाइडेंस दिए थे और जिस ट्रांसपेरेंसी से काम किया वो दिख रहा है. फर्स्ट क्वार्टर में आपको भी आइडेंटिफाई होंगी चीजें.
डन सर, थैंक यू सो मच सर, ऑल द बेस्ट.
थैंक यू साहिल. थैंक यू.
द नेक्स्ट क्वेश्चन कम्स फ्रॉम द लाइन ऑफ अमित अग्रवाल फ्रॉम नुवामा वेल्थ. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Congrats for good set of numbers and thanks for taking the question. My question primarily relates to, you know, in rental income, it's grown by about 31% despite your total number of seats having grown about 52% on a year-on-year basis, talking about. So approximately what I calculated, probably on a year-on-year basis, per bill seats, I think there's a degrowth of 14%. Is it normal in this course of business, ups and downs, or is there any particular reason for that?
No, it's obviously normal because, you know, everything is contractual, and what happens is the timing also is very significant contributor to this variations, because what happens is that, let us say, for an instance, in a particular quarter, if the seats are, majority of the seats which are getting built, incrementally built during this quarter are built during, let's say, in the first month or the second month or the third month or on an average. So that matters a lot. And then also obviously in some of the cases, you know, once the bills are booked, some of the seats which are booked, there is staggered way of, you know, seat building up also happening because, you know, clients, large clients, when they kind of join in, you know, the total seats which they contract with us might be larger seats, but then they also start filling it up in a staggered manner. So the revenue would show a little bit of variation in that range because, you know, the timing difference is very critical, as I explained. And that is how we have always said that, you know, to analyze the result on a quarterly basis on a rental side becomes a little difficult because, you know, on an every quarter, depending upon the situation in that particular quarter in terms of revenue getting booked, in terms of sites coming on live, etc., would make a obviously difference in the result for that particular quarter.
Sure. Understood. Thanks a lot. That's all I had. Thank you.
Thank you, Amitji. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Ayush Sabu from Choice Equity Broking Private Limited. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Could you please give us some guidance regarding the total capex that we'll be doing for financial year 25 and 26 for considering all three verticals?
So, Ayush, with regards to the capex, you know, with regards to our leasing business, We always maintain that we are trying to add around 25,000 seats on an annualized basis every year on year, at least going forward a couple of years. Considering that, you know, there's about per seat capex of about 50,000 rupees. That is generally what is the thumb rule that we follow. And then about 10,000 rupees we consider in terms of investments in deposits. So if you consider it completely, then in that sense, you know, we are looking at about, you know, total, you know, 150 crore odd amount of investment. Now, what here comes into, I mean, more calculation is the fact that we try our best in ensuring that maximum of this capex is funded through our landlords. Because as you appreciate that when we take the property on lease from these landlords, we try to ensure that how much we can, you know, try to get it funded through the landlord so that rather than the capex, that rather comes back to us in form of opex because, you know, that gets amortized in form of rental that the landlord would charge me for the furnished property. So if you look at it from a leasing business point of view, the total outlay likely to be is around 150 crore, which we will try to manage between us and the landlord. Generally, our ratios has always been very positive where we do a comparative lesser investment, let's say about 15-20% of the total outlay, and balance we try to get it funded through the landlord. And that's why we don't take those aggressive stand in terms of building up the inventory without having a backup, you know, order pipeline with us. So that's on the leasing vertical. On the furniture vertical, there will be investments, but that investment would be largely in terms of working capital because the moment our business will grow, there will be also growth in the institutional business on the furniture vertical. And the institutional vertical would call for a larger working capital deployment. So if we are expecting a business of about 150 crore next year in the furniture vertical, and at about 2 months minimum of the working capital deployment, you know, that's the kind of investment that we would be making in the furniture vertical. There will be no further capex which would be required in the furniture vertical because all the infrastructure, machineries, plant and machineries, tools, etc., is already been developed and ready for operations. So there is no further capex in terms of the plant and machinery, etc., is required any further. With regards to the design and build vertical, again, as we've always maintained, that it is largely a working capital business because it's at the end of the day, it's a service business that we carry out for our principals. And there also, our estimates are about 30 to 45 days of working capital deployment that would be required. Where, you know, this year we are expecting to close the, you know, targeting to close this vertical at about 225-250 crore. And the next year we obviously would like to kind of continue the same trend of growth. If that we consider for about 30 to 45 days of working capital requirement, that's what would be the investment that would outlay that we would look for in the entire coming financial year. I hope I've answered your question.
So the questioner has left the queue. We move on to the next question, which is from the line of Shubham Jain from NV Alpha Fund. Please go ahead.
Good morning. Congratulations on a fantastic set of numbers. I had a couple of questions. The first thing I wanted to understand was there's a sharp rise in our interest cost quarter on quarter from 7 crores to 18 crores. And there's a dip in other expense from a 15 to 20 crore range to 9 crores in this quarter. So what explains this change in numbers?
So yes, the increase in the finance cost is also attributable to a few things. One is, you know, if you recollect during this quarter only, end of previous quarter only, we had acquired a property in our books here in Vakrewadi, Pune, and obviously the interest and the repayment on that on an EMI would have began beginning this quarter.
number one. So that was one contributor, because that's also a loan of about 55 odd crores, and on that our repayment has started. Our interest and repayment has started from September onwards. That's one. Secondly, also the contributor is the finance cost estimates, which happen due to the Ind AS implication. So that has also, because there are certain sites which have come on live during this quarter comparatively, then you know the portion relating to that would also get accounted for during this quarter, and hence there is an incremental interest cost in this particular quarter, Shubham.
Okay, understood. And the other expense?
Yeah, other expenses basically, there are obviously certain one-time expenses which happens in the beginning of the year, certain AMC costs, there are certain retainers costs which should have happened, and those would have got, booked in the first quarter, and hence, those one-time expenses are not further accounted in this quarter. So largely because of certain specific one-time expenses, there were certain expenses relating to, the research and the other activity which carried out relating to REITs, the AIF, etc., that we are trying to come up with, and the legal and the financial fees related around that would, have been contributed in increasing the other expenses in the first quarter, which is now managed well during this particular quarter, because such no further expenses were there.
Understood. So, just to understand how we account for our lease costs, right, is that across our cost of operations and other expenses and more interest and depreciation costs, what would be the outflow of the rental that we pay to the properties that we rent out?
So, in terms of touching points for the impact of the lease accounting, the touching points are obviously, one is your rent outflow, one is your finance cost, and one is your amortization cost, right? And then there is also a bit in your revenue side, because, there is emotional interest and certain financial, lease income that gets booked at the income level. And then there is substantial impact coming onto the rent outflow and the amortization and the depreciation accounts, heads. With regards to the rent outflow, are you talking in terms of what is an absolute quantum in terms of, sorry?
Yeah. I'm looking for the absolute quantum for the quarter.
Yeah, so absolute quantum for the quarter, as we said, that is generally in the range of around 45% to 50% of the total income that we incur, and total income that we earn. So right now, let's say if we are looking at more than, around 55,000 seats that we have the capacity. So, we are looking at anything in an average of about, around 65 rupees, depending upon the new sites. And let's say in the earlier, the older sites, we are looking at in an average of about 50 rupees. That is the kind of outflow that we are looking at, between 50 to 65 rupee on a bare shell basis, and about, let's say, 65 to around 80-85 rupees on a furnished site rate per square feet that we are looking at.
Understood. My second question...
Shubham, if you could please join back the queue.
Sure. Thank you,
Shubham.
The next question comes from the line of Sandeep Agarwal from Naredi Investment. Please go ahead.
Thank you. The first question is regarding, currently we have 70 sites, out of which how many sites are with us for more than 5 years?
So more than 5 years, sir, would be around 55 to 60%, because, most of the expansion, as you would have seen, have happened post 2022. More than 5 year sites would not be more than 50%. It will be in and around that or little less than that, in fact.
Okay. So if we so my next question is, if we do any renewal size from the landlord, then what do you with the furniture? Do not a renewal site from the landlord. So what do you do with the furniture? Do you completely amortize or use it at a new site?
No. So if we are continuing with a particular site, then obviously the furniture which is fitted out would remain within that, number one. Number two, it will also matter that whether the furniture is funded by us or it is funded by the landlord. So let us say if the furniture is funded by the landlord, that it is immaterial whether we leave after 5 years or we continue after the 5 years, because anyway we are going to be charged certain rental accordingly. Only in a circumstance where we are, you know, if we have to kind of renew ourselves, and if we are not able to renew where we have invested for the furniture, then that is the reason why we always calculate that whatever is the landlord tenure for which we have invested in the furniture, we amortize that during that tenure itself. So we don't consider as if it is going to get renewed. If it gets renewed, that's a benefit, that's an additional advantage that we get, because we've already kind of amortized the entire furniture during that tenure only. So only in case if this question or this aspect is relevant, only in case where a site where we have funded for the furniture, and if we are not able to renew the contract with the landlord for whatever reason, then in any case we would have amortized this during this first 5 year contract for which we have taken the landlord's agreement.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Sagnik Karmakar from eStock Broking. Please go ahead.
Hi, thanks for the opportunity. What I wanted to ask is, this quarter, whatever furniture revenue we have booked, so that comes totally from our internal orders?
No, I mean, because, you know, in fact, this doesn't really count the internal orders. So there is about more than, about 2.5-3 crores of internal orders, which has got, kind of knocked off during the consolidation. So this is completely a third-party contract that has got accounted for and reported in the consolidated results.
Okay, so we talked about order going through Hyderabad, I think, last quarter. Is that the one?
Yeah, so no, so Hyderabad one was the first order, which has, we had received from an F&B company. And that obviously got delivered partially in the last quarter, and that is one of the contract which is part of this total revenue that we are talking about.
Okay, understood. Also, I wanted to understand, when you say that the SMREIT will help the bottom line, how exactly in terms of financials is it going to help?
So under the SM REIT, our wholly owned subsidiary, AFC Investment Management Private Limited, is going to be the manager to the SM REIT. Because SM REIT, we will only be owning it 5%, and the balance would be owned by the investors. So what, in terms of revenue, which will come directly on our books, is the income for the services for management and operation of that entire SM REIT. Including managing their occupancy, including taking care of their marketing activity, administration and operational activity, all the activity that we would be carrying out, that would be charged in form of service fee, and that service fee will directly add to our bottom line, because all other expenses, whether on account of electricity, on account of housekeeping, security, which are generally booked in our books, are now will get booked with regards to the property that SM REIT has acquired in the book of SM REIT only. So we will get directly only a net service fee that we are eligible for delivering the services for those SM REIT. And that's why it is adding to the bottom line.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Kushal Chauhan from Viome. Please go ahead.
I wanted to understand on margins. So the DNB margins have shrunk a little bit. So what is the guidance going forward and in all of the segments, and how are we expecting around 40% of margins from furniture business as per your commentary? Because that is something which even big players are not able to generate.
So with regards to the DNB division, you know, the margins, I mean, we generally expect a margin range to be anything around, you know, 17-18% only, but largely because of the certain contracts that which we are receiving today, that is really contributing in us enabling higher margins. And obviously, if tomorrow we get the blend, which is likely to happen in the coming quarter, where we get the blend of this contract, the average would come down around 20-22%, despite we are getting certain high margin contract, because, you know, there will be contracts which are also of a moderate margin, which will average out the entire, you know, margin profile. With regards to the rental income, rental margins, if you see at an EBIT level, yes, EBIT level comes pretty high because it doesn't account for interest cost, where, you know, there are about 8 floors which are now at this point of time owned by us, and the revenue which comes from there, we don't have to pay out the rental, and hence that in that proportionate amount is actually getting paid in form of interest because we have taken LRD against those properties. So if you really want to understand the margins, then you have to actually calculate, not just look at the EBIT, but also minus the interest portion, which is dedicated only to the leasing vertical. Then you will see it will come out around 30%, and that's the kind of margin that we have always guided to the investors that we are trying to achieve from our businesses.
Yeah, and what can be the capex per seat? It was around 1400 or 1500 per square feet. So what is the guidance going forward, and how are we managing this cost efficiency?
So as I've explained earlier, that capex per seat would range around 50,000 rupees per seat, or let's say if you talk in terms of square feet, our thumb rule always has been around 1250 rupees per square feet, and we will maintain that thumb rule always, because, you know, we believe very strongly that if we really do not, you know, kind of optimize or bring efficiency here, then there are very less scope for me to kind of, you know, maintain my margin profile accordingly. And hence, you know, if you're looking at in terms of outlook, as I said, my capex profile would remain at 1250 per square feet. And as I've also mentioned to the earlier answers, that we try our best in identifying and locating properties where most of our properties are getting funded in terms of capex for, you know, fit out expenses through the landlord only, so that there is a lesser capex that is getting burdened on the company and according to the liabilities.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Vishal Mehta from Raghav Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Good morning, Umesh bhai and Nikhil bhai.
Good morning, Vishal ji.
Acha, wanted to understand, a couple of days back you had this BSE notice that you have acquired this company, Master and Platt. What's the rationale behind that?
This basically, we have acquired this company more like a strategic investor. We were not going to participate in actively in the management and operation of the company. The management and management of the company is, you know, kind of a separately run through the significant shareholders who are the promoters also. And, you know, our interest is to, you know, we are looking at some, you know, synergies that could be established with this company, which is operating in renewable energy sector, so that going forward, if those synergies could help us in bringing down our operation costs or, you know, maintaining our margin profile, that's the precise reason why we have kind of taken a strategic call in participating and acquiring certain strategic investment share in the company, sir.
Okay, thank you.
Welcome.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Raj Saraf for Finvestors. Please go ahead.
So, very good morning, sir, and congratulations on the amazing sets of numbers.
Thank you.
Sir, a couple of questions from my side, sir. Sir, in this Q3, sir, we have availability of operational seats like 51,252 total. So, going forward, by the time we conclude this financial year, how much seats will be available for billing?
Sir, by end of this financial year, from billing perspective, we are trying to achieve total seats, anything around 55,000 seats that we are trying to, you know, bring it on a billing level. And on a capacity level, obviously, we are trying to achieve more than, you know, around 62,000 to 65,000, depending upon how the contracts getting secure, you know, closed for acquisition, because, you know, this is the quarter we try to maximize ourselves in terms of securing the contract so that the revenues from those contract can start generating from the next financial year, first quarter itself.
Okay. Fine, sir. And, sir, as we are listening to the market and seeing some slowdown in the economy, so do you feel that this is also affecting our operations, bookings, like that, sir?
So at this point of time, you know, first of all, as you have appreciated, one of the reason why we have, you know, kind of created this integrated structure and also created a multiple sources of revenue is to ensure that we kind of, you know, kind of hedge ourselves or shield ourselves from potential risk that one can foresee from slowdown in a particular kind of a sector. Yes, all the three verticals are having dependence on the real estate and accordingly on the economy. Yes, the economic slowdown would have an overall impact, but as we can see right now, primarily, you know, post-COVID, you know, the entire flex office market and also the way the office premises are getting on a leasing model, where, you know, the ultimate customers are looking at a solution which is more flexible for them and more solution which is kind of less capex oriented for them, where they are remaining to be an asset light company, and hence the likely growth in this sectors is likely to remain upward for next at least 1 or 2 years, independent of, you know, the overall economic situation as what it appears to be as of now. We are keeping a tap on this situation, and as we say that there are sectors which are essentials and would remain robust at least going forward. So let's say education, healthcare, etc. And that's why, you know, our focus from a furniture sector is also not only on the real estate sector, but also onto those education and healthcare sectors, so that we can at least try to tap those sectors and get more revenue from that in the furniture division. Similarly, in the D&B division, and also our customers that we are trying to lure under the leasing vertical are also diversified. We are not only focused on IT, ITS or BFSI, but also trying to get into, you know, different kind of customers who are operating in different industries, and so that we have a proper risk distributed across the sectors that we are trying to work upon. So, I mean, that's the kind of the strategy that we are adopting, and I think we are trying to kind of hedge ourselves against the potential risk because of the slowdown in the economy, global economy, or in the domestic economy could bring into our businesses.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Rohan Shekhani from Accenture. Please go ahead.
Good morning, sir. Thank you for the opportunity. I just wanted to ask a couple of questions. That first of all, you had in the quarter two conference call, you had given a guidance of the rent per square feet that was 6250 rupees. But the rent, but you mentioned that the further seats will have rent about 6500 or more. But seeing more than 10% growth in seats, the average rent per square per seating hasn't increased. So, like, what can we expect in the further quarters regarding the average rent per seat?
So we have always maintained that we try to operate within this bracket, which is, you know, on an average it ranges from 6,000 to, you know, 7,000, 7,500 rupees, and average out to around 6,250 to 500. And that's the range that we try to operate, and that's how entire economics also we plan. So whenever beginning from acquisition of site, so the rental that we pay out, the kind of capex that we do, and obviously the price that we kind of establish for that micro market, we try to maintain within this range. Having said that, obviously we are looking at a situation, because right now we are already seeing a trend where we are achieving anything around 7,000 plus minus, let's say, 10%, that kind of range, depending upon, again, like I said, the markets, depending upon the location that we are kind of penetrating in. So, but overall trend in terms of pricing would remain the same, because we are very conscious, you know, in our industry, location and pricing are the two very critical factors that one needs to, you know, be really focused about in terms of, you know, achieving the right growth and maintaining the right margin profile. So it would certainly remain in this range.
Noted, sir. My second question is, seeing the advent of furniture division, two questions here. What can be the revenue split going forward? And secondly, as you said that the furniture is in-house, so how much margins can we see to be realized in, you know, next financial year? Because currently we can see that there is a very low profit before tax in terms of furniture division. EBIT, my bad. So,
So, no, yes, absolutely. In terms of the, you know, the contribution of each vertical is concerned, going forward, yes, since, you know, our rental business is a legacy business and the core business that we have established ourselves with, that for next 1 and 2 years would remain a front runner and going. But if you look at it, probably down the line 2 years, we will be more than happy to see a situation where we are able to bring a kind of an equilibrium among all the three verticals. Number one, with regards to the margins for the furniture vertical, we are very confident that considering, you know, the kind of product, that range that we are developed and we are also continuously developing, and the market conditions, we believe that 30% EBITDA is something which is really achievable. When we entered the market, you know, based on the market report and the research, we've always been guided that anything between 35 to 40% is something achievable. But realistically speaking, considering the, you know, different product mix that one would come up with, you know, achieving 30% margin in our mind is very much achievable and would be achieved. At present, you see a lesser margin primarily because obviously we are not at our, you know, best capacity, because, you know, as we explained, we started only in last quarter, and obviously it took a kind of a little time in terms of establishing the product range, establishing the quality standards and getting our team trained to do a mass production and so on and so forth. So going forward, once we do a better capacity utilization, you will start seeing the margins in the furniture division in terms of its EBIT level, as you have seen right now. But yes, certainly we would be able to maintain a margin in and around 30% on an EBITDA level in the furniture division.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Abhishek Dixit from Hem Securities. Please go ahead.
Hello. Yeah, hi, sir. So my question was, hello. Yeah, hi, sir. Am I audible, sir?
Yes, yes, please.
Yeah, so in the earlier concall, sir, we have given the guidance of doubling our top line in FY25. So, sir, are we intact on that?
So doubling our top line was obviously the target that we had once kept for ourselves, because, you know, you need to hit for the, you know, those high targets, and we are maybe not exactly would be in a position to double it, but, you know, we would certainly be going as near as possible to that. And right now,
looking at the the growth overall, we believe we'll certainly not be able to double it entirely, but would come somewhere near to that. Around 50% more than the last year would certainly be the achievable situation.
Okay, so like we are aiming for 50% growth in the top line in FY25.
Yes, more than that, yes, in and around that.
Like, what was the reasons? Like, sir, we missed our guidance.
No, so like I said, it is not a guidance. That was a target that we had, kept, and we still want to achieve such, but if you look at that, we have kind of improved our margins. So, independent of the target, if you look at the margin will get doubled from what we achieved last year. So that, which is what is more significant, because we've kind of, with these integrations, we have at least tried to bring, the efficiencies. As you could see, my last year, entire year, PAT was at about 62-63 crore. And this quarter, by 9-year result, is at about 92.8 crore. So there is already, more than 50% increment in the profitability by 9 months only. And with every profitability getting added, is going to be marginally adding only. So certainly we'll be doubling our profitability in terms of turnover. Yes, we would achieve a little lesser than what we have targeted for in terms of doubling it. But more important, as I have explained, is that we are able to bring those efficiencies through this integrated model and achieve a better profitability in the overall business.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that was the last question, and we conclude the question and answer session. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Aman Gupta, Company Secretary of EFC India Limited, for his closing comments.
Thank you, Ran. Thank you, everyone, for joining us on the earnings call. We truly appreciate your time and engagement. If you have any further queries or require additional information, Please feel free to reach out to our investor relations team or drop us an email. Your continued support and trust are invaluable for as we work together to drive the company forward. Wishing you all a wonderful day ahead. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of EFC India Limited, that concludes today's session. If there are any questions that have remained unanswered due to paucity of time, request you to kindly send us the same to compliance@efclimited.in. Thank you for your participation, and you may now disconnect the call. Thank you.